السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Hazur says that the promised Messiah on whom be peace in the 10th condition of the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance, has deemed it essential for one to take his relationship of love and devotion to the promised Messiah alayhi salam to that standard and level, the example of which is not found in any other relationship in the world. Why is it necessary to confer this status upon the promised Messiah alayhi salam after coming into his Pledge of Allegiance? This is because he is that ardent devotee and lover of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this age, who according to his prophecies restored the faith on the earth from the Pleiades. By removing the innovations that had entered into Islam, he presented once again before us the beautiful and glorious teachings of Islam. He enabled us to recognize the true and real status of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he established a connection between man and God. He writes in one place that, "I know from my veritable and complete knowledge that neither can any man reach God without following this Prophet, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and nor can he receive perfect spiritual knowledge." Thus, complete and perfect obedience and love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and being lost in that love for him, became a means of reaching God and recognizing God for the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Subsequently, God deemed it essential that a bond of brotherhood and love and affection to this great lover should also be formed as a means of nearness to him. Allah the Almighty also displayed those scenes of love and affection to him which linked the people of the latter days with those of the earliest times. With regards to this treatment of love of Allah the Supreme, the promised Messiah on whom be peace writes, When a person sincerely and truly loves God Almighty, then God Almighty also comes to love him. Subsequently, acceptance is opened and spread all over the earth for such a person. In the hearts of thousands of persons, love is instilled for him. He is granted a power of attraction, and a light is also provided to him, which remains with him perpetually and for all times. Thus, this status in this era was conferred upon the promised Messiah, Anum be peace. At this time, I will present some accounts of those who truly loved and had affection to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, regarding their relationship of love and affection. Hadrat Allah Yar Sahib narrates the following. I met the promised Messiah alayhi salam many a times repeatedly, and I had a keen desire to press the promised Messiah alayhi salam with my hands. I would listen to the words of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and his revelations. That is, he would sit in these gatherings in which the promised Messiah alayhi salam would often mention his revelations. With this enthusiasm, I migrated to Qadian so that I could always listen to what the promised Messiah alayhi salam would say. I came to Qadian and started carpentry work. My savings were quite large, but they were all spent. That is, the money I had brought, I had spent, and I had nothing left with me. He said, one day I started selling halwa. Under Betul Dawa of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, I would call out, fresh halwa. Hadrat al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, heard what I was saying, and she was also acquainted with me, and said, what work has this contractor begun? The promised Messiah, Anum be peace, replied, the moths fall on the place of light or attraction. What else are they to do? In other words, now he has come here out of love for me. He is going to do some work or the other. So the mother of the believers replied, he is a contractor. And in those days, the contractors normally had donkeys which would take loads and transfer it here and there. So he says, why does he not use his donkey to take luggage elsewhere? So the promised Messiah replied, he is not one of those ones who has a donkey. So Hadrat Ammajan, the mother of the believers, proposed that why does he not get employed? The promised Messiah said he is not that literate or educated. So this discussion ensued in this manner, and the promised Messiah, Anum be pleased, said, he only knows carpentry work, this is all he can do. May Allah the Almighty bless him in this regard. The narrator said, I was listening to this conversation below. After this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam called for me and said, do you have any wood? I said, I have some wood and some timber. The promised Messiah, Anum be peace, said, we need to make some parts of the bed or bedsteads for the guest house. Can these be made? At that time, immediately, a house worker of the promised Messiah alayhi salam exclaimed, that wood of this material does not last for that long. The promised Messiah, Anum be peace, responded, he makes this wood material himself. He will not produce useless wood. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, subsequently placed an order for 20. In other words, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, did not say, because the worker said not to make it, do not make it. In fact, he said, go on to make it. So that relationship of love existed from both sides. Then, Hadrat Malik Khan Sahib narrates that in 1902, I went to Qadian with the late Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. I do not recall whether we did the bed on the day we arrived or the second day. What I remember clearly is that after the Zuhr prayer, we presented ourselves for the Pledge of Allegiance. The late Shaheed, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, first of all placed his hand upon the hand of the promised Messiah, Anum be peace. And then secondly, I placed my hand upon the hand of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. After the Pledge of Allegiance, I spent perhaps 2 or 3 days in Qadian Darul Aman. After this, the late Shaheed said to me that I have seen a dream that the rulers of hosts will cause you harm or suffering, therefore immediately return. Consequently, 2 or 3 days after, I returned. There was a Mullah Spengul Sahib who also came with me. The late Shaheed would always say, here he is referring to Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed and his love for the promised Messiah on whom be peace. So the narrator explains that he would say that I have not seen a greater scholar than me, and this is purely the grace of Allah. In other words, Sahibzada Sahib would say about himself that at this time I have not seen anyone who is a greater scholar than myself, and if I did, I would kiss his feet. Subsequently, he said, when we came to Qadian and did the Pledge of Allegiance to the promised Messiah alayhi salam, I saw with my own eyes the late Shaheed kissing the blessed feet of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Thus, he fulfilled his claim. Hadrat Maulvi Sikandar Ali Sahib relates, one day before permanently moving to Qadian, this servant was present there. The promised Messiah alayhi salam departed for an early morning walk and I went alongside him. In other words, before his permanent move to Qadian, he was relating his account. He said, we were taking the route of Bini Bangar Basrani Wale when the promised Messiah on whom be peace stated on the way that those who cannot give up small matters, abandoning which would not upset anyone, like tobacco, smoking hookah, taking drugs, etc., then how can such a person give up other bigger matters through which his parents, his brothers, his friends and his dear ones all become angry with such matters such as changing one's faith? In other words, how can one endure accepting Ahmadiyyat because one has to face difficulties and trials after? If one cannot give up small difficulties and one cannot bear giving them up, how can one bear giving up big matters? He said, at that time, I would smoke hookah. After hearing this, I pledged I would not smoke the hookah. And in this way, I left off smoking hookah. Before, I put a lot of emphasis on trying to leave it, but could not. But now I did. So this was that relationship of love which compelled him to leave that evil. Hazrat Shukr Ilahi Sahib Ahmadi relates, I was but a child, about 12 or 13 years old, and I was completely unaware of religion. And I was studying in some class in Abu Gurdaspur High School. At that time, the case was running of the opposing party of Maulvi Abdul Karim. The promised Messiah alayhi salam will be towards the north of the school along with his companions. I would skip school and go near the promised Messiah alayhi salam and kept on looking at the blessed countenance of his. There was a great lover of the promised Messiah alayhi salam whose name I am unaware of because I was a child at the time, but I was astonished that there were such great lovers of the promised Messiah alayhi salam as this person who held a large fan in his right hand and would wave it extremely hard. He would stand there for a lengthy period. I would look after and he was still holding that fan and still waving it. I was shocked that his hand would not tire and he would not wave it slowly. In fact, he would wave it extremely fast as if an electric current was operating the fan with great force. It was the days of summer and hot weather. Whenever I would come, I would see that same person. I would say, what is that magic? The fan is so big. And the entire day he would wave it with one hand. But now I am aware that the reason was because he was a true lover of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Hazrat Madad Khan Sahib relates, once in my homeland, during the month of Ramadan, I had the keen desire that this time I should carry out my fast in Qadian, should perform Eid and then return to my work. In those days, I had very newly joined the army as a Jamadar. The Jamadar is a junior commission rank in the army. Thus, at the time, it was my keen desire that before starting my new work, I should visit Qadian. so that I could look at the blessed countenance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and have the honor once again of taking the Pledge of Allegiance at his hand. Because I did my first Pledge of Allegiance in 1895 or 1896, and I made that Pledge of Allegiance through a letter. Thus, it was my first opportunity to visit Qadian. So my predominant desire was that whatever happens on this occasion, I should look in person at the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, because God knows if I started employment now, whether I would get the opportunity again to see the promised Messiah. So thus, it became my desire to visit Qadian and see the promised Messiah, may be peace, and then return and start my employment. I came to Qadian, but as soon as I saw the blessed face of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on whom be peace, spontaneously in my heart the thought emerged that even if the entire state of Kashmir was granted to me, I would not leave Qadian and leave him. It was merely his attraction which was compelling me not to leave. Having seen the blessed countenance of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, it became extremely difficult to leave Qadian, to the extent that seeing the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, made me forget everything else. The only thought that would come in my mind was that even if I received a salary of 1,000 rupees outside, then what would it matter? For if I went outside, I would never be able to see the spiritual and luminous countenance. With this consideration, I cancelled returning to my homeland, and I thought that if today or tomorrow I died, then the promised Messiah would certainly lead my funeral prayer, and I would attain salvation, and Allah the Almighty would also be pleased. Therefore, I resolved to remain in Qadian. My daily routine became that I would give an envelope for the promised Messiah alayhi salam through someone else, requesting for prayers. However, I always feared in my heart that may the promised Messiah alayhi salam not be angry with this act of mine, and may he not think that I keep on troubling him. However, this thought proved to be wrong, because one day the promised Messiah alayhi salam replied to me in writing that you have adopted a very good approach, that you keep on reminding me of you. Due to this, I constantly pray to God for you. Inshallah, God enabling, I will continue praying for you. Hadrat Muhammad Ismail Sahib, son of Maulvi Jamaluddin Sahib, relates, I was approximately 20 years old when in Gurdaspur, the verdict of the case of Karamuddin Jailmi was to be announced. One day before I had arrived from my village, the promised Messiah alayhi salam was staying there in a house. It was the summer. The promised Messiah, whom be peace, was sitting in a room. There my father, Mia Jamaluddin Sahib, Mia Imamuddin Sahib Sikwani, and also Chaudhry Abdul Aziz Sahib were all present. I went and started waving a fan before the promised Messiah, whom be peace. Azur looked at me, and glancing at Mia Jamaluddin Sahib, he smiled and said that Mia Ismail has come and also partaken in the blessings. The manner in which the promised Messiah alayhi salam would become so happy by even small acts of service is recalled by me even now and gives me tranquility in the heart. Hazrat Sheikh Askar Ali Sahib relates, that normally guests who had come visiting from outside would seek permission from the promised Messiah alayhi salam to leave. The promised Messiah alayhi salam would repeatedly say to them to quickly come again, and at times he would also respond that stay on longer. To those companions whom the promised Messiah alayhi salam believed that they could still stay longer, that is, he did not say this to everyone, only to those who he believed could stay on longer, he said, stay on longer. In short, it was very difficult to be separated from these people. Before every person departed, he was told to shake the hands of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. So every person would ask for permission and shake hands with the promised Messiah alayhi salam, no matter how late it got. As far as I remember, nobody left without seeking permission and shaking hands with him. It would happen at times that the person's turn would come very late to shake the hands of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and when he was departing, he did not expect to reach a station in time, but through the divine will. And through the blessings of the prayers of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, this incident happened many a times, that the train reached the station at Batala late and he was able to board the train. He says that apart from with other people, this has happened with me also, that we set off late. We could not even find horse carriage to reach the station. All us brothers together set off on foot. In those days, the train perhaps arrived at 6 o'clock in Batala. We wanted to board it, but there was only a very short time left. We continued praying and walked very fast. In fact, some of the way, we started running. Allah the Almighty gave us endurance and strength when we reached near the station and inquired. We learned the train had not yet come. Thus, when the train arrived, a short while after, we comfortably boarded. This was merely through the attention and blessings of the Promised Messiah on whom be peace. Hazrat Master Nazir Hussain Sahib, son of Hakim Muhammad Hussain Sahib, Marhami Isa, relates. It was my routine that whenever I had the opportunity to sit in the blessed company of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, or to listen to his lecture, I would keep a notebook and pencil with me. When I observed that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam advised something which according to me could be practiced and would be useful and beneficial and necessary in my life, I would immediately note it down. Hazrat Allah Ditta Sahib, headmaster, son of Mia Abdul Sattar Sahib, relates. Perhaps in 1901 or 1902, a Nawab Sahib, along with his workers, came for treatment to Hazrat Khalif Tumasi I, the Qadian. One day when I was present before Hazrat Khalif Tumasi I, two workers of Nawab Sahib, a Sikh and a Muslim, came. And they said that the Viceroy was about to visit the area of Nawab Sahib. You are aware of the relationship of Nawab Sahib with him. Nawab Sahib desires that Hazur, that is Hazrat Khalif Tumasi I, should go with him for a few days. Hazrat Khalif Tumasi I replied, Hazrat Maulana Nuruddin Sahib, I do not have my own life. I have a master, ask him. So at the time of Zohar, in Masjid Mubarak, these workers asked Hazrat Nabiullah, the Prophet of Allah. The Promised Messiah on whom be peace responded, there is no doubt whatsoever that if we put Maulvi Sahib, that is Hazrat Khalif Tumasi I, in fire, he would not reject it. If we put him in water, he would not reject it. However, his presence there benefits thousands of people. It is not possible that for the sake of a worldly or materialistic person, we close off the route to benefiting so many people. If Nawab Sahib needed treatment, then he should stay here and receive it. It is not that the Viceroy is coming and therefore Hazrat Khalif Tumasi I should leave. Because poor people are being helped here, the poor people have priority. He relates the reaction of Hazrat Khalif Tumasi I to this and his expression. On the one hand, it was the Promised Messiah alayhi salam's trust that even if I put him in water or fire, he would accept it. And then he relates the reaction and expression of Hazrat Khalif Tumasi I that on that same day after the Asr prayer, Hazrat Khalif Tumasi I said whilst delivering a dars of the Holy Quran, that is, a dars of Quran after the Asr prayers, he started to say, today I am extremely happy and joyous, so much so that I am speechless. There is my master. I am always concerned that he should always be happy with me. Today it is such a day of happiness that he thinks of me in such a way that if I put Nuruddin in fire, he will not reject it. If I put him in water, he will not reject it. Hazrat Master Vadavi Khan Sahib relates that the retired Master Aladita Sahib, headmaster of Qadian Darul Rehmat, when he was in Gujranwala in the school as a Naim Mudarris, he said to me, once I was visiting Qadian, in Masjid Mubarak, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam was amongst people. Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib was also there. The Promised Messiah pointed to Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib, that is Khalif Tumasi I. This person is my true and ardent devotee. When we left the mosque after that, then Maulvi Sahib exclaimed, that person whose beloved says that he is my ardent and true devotee, what more does he need? Hazrat Master Mola Bakh Sahib, son of Umar Bakh Sahib, relates that once I had visited Qadian during my holidays and there were only 3 days left. I took permission from the promised Messiah alayhi salam and left. When I reached the route of Batala, I did not feel like going any further. There I sat in the fields. I cried, I sobbed, and I wept like anything, and then I returned. He did not feel like leaving. He had restlessness and anxiety within him. And in any case, he sat there, cried, and then came back. And after his holidays, he then returned. This was the effect of the love of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Hazrat Maulvi Muhibbur Rahman Sahib relates that with my father, in 1899, I went to Qadian. We boarded a horse carriage and reached Qadian. As soon as the carriage stopped in front of the guest house, my father leapt out of the carriage and ran. The passengers exited the carriage and the carriage man removed the luggage. I stood there astonished that my father, contrary to his normal habit and personality, leapt and ran. What is the reason for that? A short while after, Hafiz Hamid Ali Sahib came out and he asked me, "Is this luggage of Habibur Rahman Sahib?" After hearing me say yes, he took the luggage to the guest house and I went behind him. After a short while, my father came back. The next day, in the morning, after the Fajr prayer, my father took me alongside him to the house of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Upon reaching the door of the house, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, opened the door himself. We entered the room, which was a room next to Bayt al-Fikr. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, was sitting upon a takhtboard, or a type of furniture. There was a table in front and there were many books. We both sat on a type of bed, which was near. My father conversed with the promised Messiah alayhi salam for a long time, after which my father said, "I have brought Muhibbur Rahman for the pledge of allegiance." The promised Messiah said, "He has already taken the pledge." In other words, the father was an Ahmadi, the child must have been a born Ahmadi, or the father became an Ahmadi and the children became Ahmadi alongside him. So he said, "You have already taken the pledge of allegiance." My father said, "I desire for him to take the pledge of allegiance so he can partake in the prayers." The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, "Fine, we will take the pledge of allegiance in the evening." Therefore, after the Maghrib prayer, alongside many other people, I took the pledge of allegiance. After the pledge of allegiance, he had a new realization and consideration. He said, "On that day, I understood why my father, on the day we had arrived, leapt out of the carriage to meet the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. And this was the reason. It was a love and affection which made him restless. And as soon as he leapt out, he came before the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. It was my father's routine that as soon as he arrived at Qadian, he would first come before the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. On a daily basis, in the morning, he would separately come before the promised Messiah, alayhi salam." Hadrat Haji Muhammad Musa Sahib relates that once my son Abdul Majid, whose age at this time is around 4 years old, he insisted that I want to embrace or hug the promised Messiah alayhi salam. From Maghrib to morning, he continued this insistence and all night he troubled us with this regard. In the morning, we took him on the first train and reached Batala. From there, we went by horse carriage to Qadian. We sent a message as soon as we arrived to the promised Messiah alayhi salam that Abdul Majid desires to meet you and he desires to hug or embrace you. He was just a young boy at the time of 4 years old. The promised Messiah alayhi salam came out on that occasion. Abdul Majid grabbed onto his leg and this is how he met him. And he said, "This is that boy who was 4 years old, that now I feel comforted or relieved." Hazrat Mia Abdul Ghaffar Sahib Jarrah relates that it happened on one occasion that the promised Messiah alayhi salam came down the stairs and stood at the Ahmadiyya Chowk. I recall that the promised Messiah alayhi salam put his staff against his body and leaned upon it. At the time, I was standing at the clinic of Hadith Khalif Tumsi I. I looked at the promised Messiah and said to my father that, "Baba, Hadith Sahib has come." My father said, "Do not talk in a loud voice. People will hear you and come rushing. A crowd will gather and we will not be able to enjoy listening to the promised Messiah and he'll be peace." So this is also as a result of love and affection, that other people or more people should not come between them and the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Or that such large numbers should not gather beforehand, which will prevent them from reaching the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. He says, subsequently, we got up, we shook hands with the promised Messiah on whom be peace. The promised Messiah said to my father, "Mia Ghulam Rasul, tell us something about Amritsar." My father responded, "Hazur, people tend to interrupt with their own talk. If I, poor person, talks, then other people will come and talk and my words will be left behind." The promised Messiah alayhi salam replied, "Only you will talk today and no one else." That day the promised Messiah alayhi salam set off for a walk in the area of Darul Anwar. When he reached the house of the promised Messiah anhum be peace, the father-in-law of Khwaja Kamaluddin, Khalifa Rajbuddin Sahib, said in Kashmiri language that, "Now keep quiet, only we are going to talk." The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, "Today only Mia Ghulam Rasul will talk and not anyone else." He quietened him. The discussion being held was regarding mullahs. I remember that my father related that I was conversing with the promised Messiah alayhi salam regarding a mullah from Amritsar who said, "Leave Mirza, we will give you a lot of money." However, I responded to him, and I thought of this reply, that such and such merchant has a woman or a wife, but he cannot leave her. So how can I leave the Prophet of God? That is to say, a worldly person in love of his materialism destroys his life in this world and in the hereafter. He's also being disgraced. So he's saying, for the sake of love of God, I am totally effaced in my affection and relationship to the Prophet. How can I leave this, when this will facilitate for my life in this world and the hereafter? Hadrat Sheikh Zainul Abidin Sahib relates that one of my brothers, Meher Ali Sahib, was studying in the 8th grade or class. He fell ill. For 6 months, he suffered from his illness. We tried to treat him. When there was no hope left and we had no expectation for his recovery, we brought him to Qadian. The promised Messiah had received a revelation that I will lead a funeral prayer of a beloved child. The promised Messiah alayhi salam inferred this as relating to one of his own children. When Meher Ali was brought there, the promised Messiah treated him for a month or a month and a half. He recovered to some extent, but the promised Messiah was given a revelation that this child would not be saved. So he said to Hafiz Hamid Ali, that take this boy to your home, he cannot be saved. If he dies here, it will be difficult for your relatives to come. We prepared a sedan chair and we put him in it and we took him to the market. However, he said, I will not return in under any circumstance. He was a child of only 12 or 13. He said, if I am going to die, I will die here. I will stay in service of Mirza Sahib. If you do not take me back, I will leap out of this. Subsequently, we brought him back and we notified the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He said, leave him here, he will die here. However, remember, he will die whilst walking here and there. Do not assume he will be ill in bed. He was going to die suddenly. He will not die lying down. On the day he was destined to die, he went to the market. He was drinking milk. Near the evening, he arrived home. He said to his mother, mother, the lamp is about to be extinguished. The mother thought that as it was evening, he was saying to light the lamp. However, he said, this is not what I mean. This is actually what I mean. He had the feeling that he was going to die. The mother embraced him right there and then while standing, and he died in that state. The promised Messiah alayhi salam led the funeral prayer and he was buried there. It is said that the promised Messiah alayhi salam led such a long funeral prayer that we became exhausted and people were weeping. Hazrat Mia Abdul Razak Sahib relates the following. I had a great keen desire to go to listen to the case of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. This is the famous case in Jhelum. I arrived at the station 2 hours before the train was due to come. I saw the scene at the station that at 10-foot distances police guards were standing. People attempted to climb over the walls, but the police would not allow them to enter. At the time of the arrival of the train, the crowd had swelled so large that the police could no longer hold them back. All the people jumped over the wall and came in. When the Promised Messiah was about to exit the train, the Ahmadis, with the help of the police, made a passageway. The first Ahmadi to come through this passage was Chaudhry Mullah Baksaib, who was a famous Ahmadi of Sialkot. He reached the train. After that, the Promised Messiah came. Maulvi Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed of Kabul and also Muhammad Asan Sahib were alongside them. They sat in a closed carriage. It was extremely difficult for it to set off due to the large crowd. At that time, Ghulam Haider started to make arrangements with great love and affection. First of all, he insisted for the police to make arrangements. Secondly, he tried to settle the crowd. With great passion, he would walk around with a hunter's stick to try and settle them down. Our hearts were greatly aggrieved that may the Promised Messiah safely reach his house. At that time, Maulvi Burhanuddin Sahib Jhelmi, who was walking in front of the carriage with a bag under his arm, would occasionally say with great passion and zeal. He said, I remember that incident where he would say that such a blessed person has come until the Promised Messiah would reach his house. Hazrat Mia Wazir Muhammad Khan Sahib relays that the day I arrived, there was another person with me. He fell ill when he came, whereas I returned to good health after falling ill. My condition previously was that I would eat a few morsels and they would not digest. However, here I would eat 2 pita breads in one night. When I returned to Amritsar, my state deteriorated as it was before. The first time I saw the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, I was performing ablution in a small room near Masjid Mubarak. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam came from inside. As soon as I set eyes on my countenance, I became entirely dumbfounded and dazed. I was completely exuberant seeing a true person of God. On Jummah, I was in such a state that I was standing near to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam and said the prayer in Masjid Mubarak. At the time, he gave me an attentive look. After that, I cried most profusely. So the Promised Messiah looked at him, his attention fixed upon him. This impacted him to such an extent that he wept and sobbed, both during the prayer and before the prayer. According to the practice of the mystics, this is called ablution. At the Asr time, when I met the Promised Messiah alayhi salam again, he said, "How are you?" I replied, "Hazur, now I am fine." When we first came to Qadian, there was no langar khana. Pita bread and pickle was sent from the Promised Messiah's house, which we ate. At the time, the room in which there is now a motor, there was the press. Guests would also stay there, and so did I. Hazrat Dr. Ghulam Ghoz Sahib relates that Mir Mehdi Hussain relates. Once the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, sent me to Amritsar to fetch some ice. On the way, while sitting on the train, I looked out the window. My muslin cap blew off as a result of poking my head out the window. When I returned from obtaining the ice from Amritsar, Mir Nasir Nawab Sahib said, "Has someone beaten you up?" I replied, "No." He said, "Then why is your head uncovered?" I said, "My cap blew off en route." He mentioned this to the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, who said, "Indeed, we will give him a cap." I made no demand, and instead, I purchased a cap for 1 or 2 anna. In those days, caps could be purchased for 2 anna. So he bought this, and he placed it on his head. After some 6 months, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, gave me a cap and a fine woolen coat, and also some footwear. This coat was made of an animal in South America. From its wool, very fine and excellent cloth is made. In any case, a coat of this was given to him, and also some footwear. I wore the coat, but it tore quite quickly. I placed a cap on my head. I gave the footwear to my father. On the way home, a deputy ranger said to me that Mir Sahib, The cap on your head has gone a bit dirty. I shall get you a new cap from Amritsar. I responded, you will never find a cap of this quality anywhere in the heavens or the earth. I said, because this cap was worn for 2 years on the head of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. He said, indeed. He was a pious person, and later he also became a follower of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Hazrat Maulvi Azizuddin Sahib relates that every time I came to meet the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, which numbered to almost 50, 60 or 70 times, as soon as I arrived, I would take off my turban and rub both hands of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on my head. And until I did not let go, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, never tried to release his hands. As a result of this, I am 81 years old, I have never been ill. Although I have suffered very minor bruises on a couple of occasions in Qadian. Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Ismail Sahib, son of Sheikh Vasita Sahib, relates. When the promised Messiah alayhi salam would stay put after completing the prayers in Masjid Mubarak, we would be elated because we were aware that now we would attain the spiritual knowledge acquired from Allah the Almighty, and we would drink from the bowls of the love of God. The corrosion of our hearts would be removed. Old and young, we would be wrapped in attention and would look at the beautiful and blessed face of our beloved Master with eagerness and keenness. That we should listen carefully to the blessed words of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. This was the state of his lovers. That we never tired of listening to what the promised Messiah alayhi salam said. And the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, never became weary upon the questions asked of him, and neither did he ever stop them. I never saw him whispering to anyone. Badruddin Ahmed Sahib, President Jamaat Ahmadiyya Karachi. Hazrat Chirag Bibi Sahiba, daughter of Sayyid Fakir Ahmed Sahib, who was one of the disciples of the late Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed. He mentions one of his narrations that it happened on one occasion. This also displayed the love that even young girls had for the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. It happened on one occasion that the promised Messiah alayhi salam went out for a walk in the garden on that path which was underneath the mango trees. Through a door which opens to the garden of Mirza Sultan Ahmed Sahib. I would also walk behind Hazur. So the promised Messiah was having a walk in the garden. And she said, I would follow behind him. Wherever the footsteps of the promised Messiah alayhi salam tread, out of love for him, I would try to step in the exactly same place. I knew that there would be blessings attained through such an act. She said, hearing my footsteps, the promised Messiah looked at me, and then he once again resumed his walk. Hazrat Mia Muhammad Zuhuruddin Sahib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates. Everyone returned on the second day of Jalsa back home after coming to Qadian. Perhaps after 3 or 4 months, we learned that the promised Messiah alayhi salam has passed away in Lahore. My father-in-law, Zain al-Abidin Sahib, learning this news, became frenzied completely. We did not know what to do. In this state, we reached a station in Sarhind. There, Qazi Sahib said to Babu Nur Ahmed Sahib at the station that send a telegram to Lahore and find out that is this correct, that the promised Messiah alayhi salam has passed away? Seeing this state of ours, numerous non-Ahmadis came behind us, ridiculing and mocking us. They would say whatever filth came in their mind. Struck with deep grief and in a frenzy, we returned home. The non-Ahmadis followed us for a long way, ridiculing us and mocking us. Finally, we returned. This was the most painful episode for the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. The successor to the promised Messiah alayhi salam, Hadrat Khalifa Masih I, Mulana Nuruddin Sahib, was elected. We all sent our letters of pledging allegiance to him. When we attended the first Jalsa Salana after the demise of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, the places where we used to see the promised Messiah alayhi salam standing and sitting seemed vacant, and we were saddened. We were always in pain. This Jalsa took place in the garden of Madrasa Ahmadiyya, which in comparison to the Jalsa nowadays seemed small and ordinary. Khwaja Kamaruddin Sahib, Mirza Yaqub Beg Sahib, Maulvi Sadruddin Sahib and Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib all seemed prominent and active, and everyone's glances were cast upon them. That is, all the members of the Jamaat had their eyes cast upon them. At that time, it really did seem that apart from them, nobody else seemed capable, and they were the organizers and in charge. In this Jalsa, there was first recitation of the Holy Quran, then a poem was recited by Munshi Sirajuddin Sahib in the honor and splendor of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, Mirza Mahmud Ahmad Sahib delivered a speech, Hadrat Khalifa Masih Sani. This is in the era of Hadrat Khalifa Masih I. This is the first Jalsa after the demise of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. In that, he said, "The tears of the children of Israel, shed due to the oppression and cruelties of the Pharaoh, one day became a river which drowned the Pharaoh. Thus the tears shed in a state of distress and difficulty also create great results. The Jamaat, especially the Jamaats in Pakistan, should remember this, that this is the time to shed tears of this manner." He said, "The tears of the children of Israel one day became a river which drowned the Pharaoh." This speech was delivered so excellently that it left all attendees in an entranced state. When this speech completed, then Hadrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, Khalifa Masih I, may Allah be pleased with him, before starting his speech, said, "Mia Mahmud has delivered such a speech that this subject never even crossed my mind." Then he stated that friends should pray for the Qudrat Thaniya, the second manifestation, that it should continue perpetually. At that very time, prayers took place, and he also said that, "Pray for Mia Sahib, that Allah the Almighty saves him from the evil eye." Hadrat Sheikh Muhammad Ismail Sahib narrates, "When I offer my prayer in Masjid Mubarak, then that love, devotion, dedication is born in the heart, that I am completely lost in that love of God. However, my friends, due to being deprived of this light of God, that is, the promised Messiah alayhi salam, then this leaves me completely restless. When I remember being in his blessed company, my heart is filled with pain. Allah, Allah, seeing that light of God, all anguishes and difficulties of the heart are completely removed, and seeing the blessed countenance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, neither does any grief remain, nor does any complaint or grudge. It was as if we were in paradise, and our eyes would never tire from looking upon the promised Messiah alayhi salam. It was such a holy, pure and radiant face that us youngsters would offer our 5 daily prayers with such enthusiasm and zeal that after performing one prayer we would prepare for the next, so that we could find a space on one side of him. Us youngsters would vie with one another that we should find a space right beside the promised Messiah alayhi salam and stand in prayers next to him." Then he writes that, "Allah, Allah, what a blessed and holy and pure person was he, in whose company we no longer needed and forgot everyone else. And he has completely delivered us from the love of all others, and has shown us the threshold of God. May Allah the Almighty also enable us to fulfill the dues of our bayt, our pledge of allegiance. May we continue to strengthen our love and our bond of brotherhood with the promised Messiah alayhi salam as much as possible. Subsequently, as a result of this connection, may we come to be completely obedient and subservient to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that we can acquire the love of God Almighty." At this time, after the Friday prayers, I will lead 2 funeral prayers in absentia. They are both funerals of 2 of our elder and holy women of Qadian. The first funeral is of Mukarrama Rashida Begum Sahiba, wife of the late Mistri Muhammad Deen Sahib Darvish of Qadian, who passed away on 4th May at the age of 85. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. She was a daughter of Mia Fateh Deen Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, a sahabi, a companion of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. She was the niece of Hadrat Amma Aisha, who is well known in the family of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, who Hadrat Amma Jan, the wife of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, had made as a daughter. She also had a special and deep connection with the wife of Sahibzada Mirza Wasim Ahmed Sahib in Qadian. So she also spent a derveshi, a very simple and difficult life with her husband. However, she did so with happiness and cheerfulness. She was enabled to do Vasiyat in 1944. For 6 years, she served as Sadr Lajna Imaila, India. She has four sons. The eldest is a late Hamiduddin Sahib Shams, who was a missionary and who passed away at the age of 47. Her second son, Hamiduddin Sahib, is also a Vakfi Zindagi, a life devotee. Similarly, one of her sons, Rashiduddin Sahib, has also worked as a Sadr Umumi. Similarly, Nasiruddin Sahib is one of her sons and he also works there. Amongst her son-in-laws is Sayyid Abdul Naqi Sahib, who is the Amir of Vagapur. Abdul Rafi Sahib works in Umuri Amma and is also her son-in-law. The deceased was regular in fasting, in praying, in tahajjud prayers, and in daily recitation of the Holy Quran. In Qadian, she was well known as Khala Rashida. She would always accompany the wife of Mirza Wasim Ahmed Sahib to visit other people to share their happiness and sadness. The younger daughter of Mia Wasim Ahmed Sahib wrote to me that she spent her whole life in simplicity. When her husband retired from the Anjuman, he received a large amount from the Provident Fund. He thought that, I have never made anything for my wife. So he had some jewelry made or some golden items. Just a few weeks later, Hazrat Khalif Tumsi Rabi, the fourth Khalifa, made an appeal for a new center. She came and gave that jewelry over. And she said to the wife of Sahibzada Mirza Wasim Ahmed Sahib, that my entire life I have never worn any jewelry or gold, and what will I do wearing it now? So take this. In any case, the arrangements for collecting this janda and this jewelry for this appeal was with her husband. So when he saw this gold and jewelry had come in and had been sent from his wife, he spoke to the administration and paid that amount himself because he had some money and said, I had made this for my wife. After giving the amount, he gave it back to his wife. A few weeks later, Hazrat Khalif Tumasi IV, Khalif Tumasi Rabi, made another appeal. She presented that same jewelry. At the time, the husband did not have enough to pay for that amount. In any case, a statement that for my entire life I never wore any gold, so I will not wear any now, she gave it up in the way of God. The second funeral is of Mukarrama Nazrul Nisa Sahiba, wife of Mukarram Muhammad Saif Khan Sahib of India. She passed away on 9th May at the age of 75. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and Him we shall return. Her husband had the honor of accepting Ahmadiyyat in 1962. He was a very sincere person despite facing opposition. Both remain established and firm on Ahmadiyyat. She was regular in prayers, she was friendly and caring for poor people. She lived her life in simplicity. She brought up over a dozen orphan and poor children. She was extremely hospitable towards central office holders. She was a Musi and she'd been buried in Beheshti Maqbara Qadian. She is left behind by three sons who are servants of the Jamaat and Waqfi Zindagis, life devotees. Her eldest son, Naseem Khan Sahib, is a Nazir Amuri Amma in Qadian. Her second son, Kaleem Khan Sahib, is a missionary, and then there is Waseem Khan Sahib, her third son. They are all life devotees or Waqfi Zindagis. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of all the deceased. And may Allah the Almighty enable the progeny left behind to tread on their footsteps. May they always maintain a relationship of sincerity and devotion.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.